the royal baby happened.
Right.
While we're recording this.
Okay.
So this week I was thinking maybe you could do your world famous queen impersonation announcing the birth.
Hello, I am the queen. The royal child has been born. Is that good enough?
Now do Freddie Mercury.
I'm not doing it. We are the champions. No time for losers. We are the champions of the world. All right.
Awesome.
Great.
All right. Let's do the show.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to episode 136 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver, British Columbia.
Adam, what is going on in this, the middle of August, I think?
I'm not sure. I'm kind of messed up in the time-space continuum, but right now, everything is awesome.
Everything is awesome.
Yep. Beautiful sunshine every day and Vancouver. And just got back from a trip. We were just in California for a week. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was sunshine over there, too.
I like the sunshine.
Yeah, no, it's good. I'm
you don't
a fan.
You don't have to shovel sunshine.
That's true. No.
No. No, you don't have to squeak to wring sunshine out of your socks.
Also true.
Yeah. I could just probably buy boots.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Instead of that, that would be a good purchase. But it's been sunny here as well. I mean, just to make it about me for a second.
Right.
It's sunny, but with thunder, the occasional thunderstorm, which is kind of fun. So
yeah, we've had none of that, so.
You don't normally get that in Vancouver. There's a little fun fact for travelers. It doesn't really happen. It every once in a while you'll get one in Vancouver, but it just doesn't happen. Up in the interior, maybe.
Yeah.
But not out by the water. So there's that. So things are good whenever we are filming, recording this.
That's right.
Right. I know this seems like it should be an episode for Back to the Future. If it was a TV show.
Right.
Which it probably should have been.
Yeah.
How is it not?
I'm a fan. Another fan.
They could have spun that off. I mean, they spun other things off of the TV shows. Teen Wolf's now a TV show, so why not Back to the Future?
Maybe you're onto something.
Yeah, I'm sure it's been pitched.
1.21 gigawatts.
We're doing the Queen again?
No, that was Doc from Back to the Future.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
They sound a lot alike.
I think now that you mentioned, I think he was doing his Queen impersonation the whole show. Yeah. Amazon, by the way.
Right.
People are buying stuff on Amazon
all the time.
And they're telling us about it, which I appreciate.
Okay.
We got a message from a guy at Duke University.
Really? A smart guy.
I think so, from what I understand.
Okay, all right.
And it was a post, a message on one of our site somewhere, on one of the comment sections.
Okay.
And not only
you mean you read that stuff?
Yeah. Well, it comes. I get it via email as well.
Okay. All right.
So I get notifications. Otherwise, I would never think to go check.
Right.
And that's just. Being humble, I guess.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. Point is, Richard from Duke University, he actually uses our podcast.
Oh, wait. Richard?
Yeah.
You mean Dick from Duke?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
You know what the best part is? You're skipping ahead, man. I had that one chambered. Good for you. I don't suppose it was that, esoteric that, You couldn't see it coming. But that's what I was saying. That would be my nickname, man. I'm thinking of that being my nickname now. Dick of Duke or something. Yeah. That would be the greatest.
You should get a t-shirt.
Well, I think he should get one.
That's what I mean. He should get one.
Yeah. With the two hosers on the back. We should merchandise that.
Okay. So what were you saying? What was his comment? Let's get
no,
to
he,
the...
No, he was saying that he appreciates the show, of course, because it's very nice. People are very nice. And that he uses it as a teaching reference. He teaches photography at Duke.
No.
And he uses our podcast as a learning tool.
I was going to say for the dropouts.
I think so. Yeah, for the breakfast
buddy,
club
you're
kids.
Not cut out for this class, but you could check out this podcast. And he hands him a card.
Yeah. Photography's not for everybody, son. This is the toughest job a manager has. Yeah, so, but on top of that, he just bought a new 70D via our Amazon site.
Really?
Yeah.
So we get like $1 million from that.
In yen, I think.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that the how the currency lines up now.
What does a 70D go for? I'm out on this. I'm out of touch.
I actually don't know. I'm gonna guess $1,200.
Okay.
Just because that seems to be the price point for all the new cameras that come in.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, so everyone else, check out Amazon.
Buy a 70D today.
Yeah, buy a couple of them. I mean, because, okay, you know, maybe your friend needs one.
Yeah.
Not going to hurt. Like, if you gave me, like, even though I don't need a 70D right now, if you just gave me one, you came over for coffee, and you're like, oh, here, I got you a 70D, I'd be cool with it.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, just as a heads up.
Instead of muffins, I'm going to bring you a 70D.
Right. Don't even. I have plenty of lenses, so just get the one without the lens. I don't care.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Get a memory card though, because I don't like. I don't like being surprised. Like, oh, good, I can't take any pictures. Okay. No memory card.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. So check us out on the Two Hosers site. Click through Amazon there, and you get to keep hearing witty banter like this.
Right.
I actually had somebody ask me which camera they should buy. Have you had people ask you that recently?
Yes.
It used to be a difficult question. Now it's really difficult.
Yeah, there is it's a marketplace that has a lot of options.
Yeah. So she asked, "Hey, which camera should I get?" And I say, "Well, if I was you, I would buy an old 40D that's been dropped a couple times." Hey, I got one.
On sale, one day only.
Yeah. I'll sell it to you for 95% of what I paid. No tax. No tax, though.
Save yeah. the tax.
Yeah, $1,600. Yeah. No, it's good. It's worked in, is what it is. It's not worn out.
Right.
No, so I kind of gave her, you know, here's three options for you in your price range. Her price range was, you know, she didn't want to go the lowest possible one, but she didn't want to, you know, spend a fortune.
Okay.
But I tried to give her a couple of options, and then, of course, you go to the camera stores, and everything's packaged now. And so one of the big box outlets here is offering, you know, the Nikon 3200 or whatever it is, but they're throwing in the 55-6000 zoom lens,
right,
for free,
right.
And that's like a big selling point. So she's like, should I get that? And I'm like, well, it's the same price as just the camera at the other store, so it's hard to go wrong in that case.
Right.
But I certainly wouldn't spend, like, if they're throwing in something for free, it's not awesome.
True.
Yeah, here's a Learjet. That's not, they don't throw those in.
Right.
And so, anyways, so I think she had to navigate the difficult waters of the package. And one of the packages was, oh, if you buy it, this other one for an extra $100, you get the Sigma 18-200 lens with it. So there's a lot of choices going on. Ultimately, I told her, no matter what you do, you probably can't go wrong for this price.
That's kind of what I've been saying to people. I usually give them my recommendation, and based on, you know, A, their budget, and B, their experience. Mm-hmm. And I've been, for the most part, if people are Canon interested, then I usually direct them to sort of the T3i, like middle of the road. You can get them pretty cheap since they introduced the new T5i. And okay. There's really not much difference between the T4 and the T3i as far as stills goes. Okay. So bang for your buck, it's really, really good value. But again, it depends on, you know, what their ultimate want is, and if they want Nikon versus Canon, or if they want the full frame and they have the budget for it. So
right.
Yeah, but I think as far as a starter, the T3i is pretty hard to miss considering they're giving them away now.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And I mean, I find I do the same thing. I ask, hey, what do you need it for? And of course, the instinct is, well, I want to have I want to be able to zoom through every focal length.
Right.
You know, I want to have everything covered. And I say, well, you don't, though. Don't fall for that. Don't fall for the fact that, yeah, I need a zoom lens. If I was starting, like from scratch right now, and not a professional, if I was just like, you know what, I want to buy a good camera to take pictures of my kid, I would buy the Nikon.
And why?
Strictly because they offer a really good 35mm f1.8 lens.
Yeah, it's cheap, right?
It's, yeah, a couple hundred bucks. I mean, it's not cheap, you know, in terms of what you can, you know. But it takes great photos for that price. So I would buy the 3200 or the 5100 or whatever model I end up going for, and that lens would be that would be my recommendation to people. No one takes that advice because they all hear, oh, you can't zoom, forget it.
Right.
So, but that would be my thing, and then I wish Canon would have a equivalent version of that lens.
Well, they have the 28mm, but I don't know what the build quality is like on the 35mm Nikon that you're talking about. But they have kind of a cheaper,
right?
I think it's a 28mm.
They have a 28. They have a 35 that's cheaper.
And didn't they just come out with another? I want to say a 30. I mean, again, I haven't brushed up because I've decided that I'm not going to buy anything for a while, so I haven't been looking.
Right.
Just to tease myself. So I have to say I'm a little bit out of the loop because usually I'm up on all of this stuff, but yeah, I've fallen behind.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way I would go, and that's what I recommend to people. So.
Okay.
There you go. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I did. We went to Disneyland.
I knew it. That's what the whole show is going to be about.
The show is about Disneyland.
Good. So we'll just keep yours for later then.
Yeah. All right. Did you shoot anything interesting?
I shot baby photos.
Okay. Any takeaways? Like anything that really we can gain from this?
Yeah. Don't shoot baby photos.
Yeah. It's a tough one, eh?
But when you see those baby photos out there that are really awesome, first of all, I didn't take them. And secondly, I don't know how they do that. Like this is actually something we're gonna try to have a baby photographer come on the show and tell us some tips because just for my sake, because I mine are fine. There's nothing wrong. Like they're all well, you know, they're all good pictures. People like them, but they're not that amazing one. Like, you know, you see some of those ones that are just outstanding, and I think how much time had to go into that one photo. And how do you bundle that kid up in that position? Like, I don't have the guts to do that.
Yeah.
You see, people got the kid all balled up, and then he's, you know, riding in a cowboy hat on some mechanical bull. And I'm like, what? That's some production value. I can't do that.
Yeah.
And so, hats off to those people.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm not a... I don't know that it's the patience thing or, you know, just the fact that it's someone else's baby and you just don't know necessarily their comfort level.
Right.
But it's a tough thing because, again, if it's the first child, and I would assume a lot of the times when you're doing this, it is because second child, people are like, ah, forget it. Yeah. This is number two. They don't need photos, right?
No, don't need shots.
But the first one, you know, I think parents' instinct is a little bit overprotective with their 2 month old, and they don't want you to stick them upside down in a stew pot with a bunch of vegetables poking out.
Which I recommend you do because it looks awesome. It looks awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear you on that one.
So do you go through a whole sort of lighting setup when you're doing this, or are you just shooting ambient light?
That's a good question. I try to do a lot of window light because where we were shooting, they just moved into a brand new house with big windows, and we actually had a lot of nice window light coming in. So the downside was they were still moving in, so there was kind of a mess everywhere we went.
Right.
So I didn't have the room to move like I wanted. A couple spots I was able to shoot window light with the kid, and then a few times I'll shoot one flash into an umbrella.
Okay.
And try to keep it low, like, you know, 1/32nd power or something like that.
Yeah, and do you have, is this all shot with a 70-200, or do you shoot with something else?
I mix around a little bit. The 85 made an appearance. The for the window light, it was the 85, just because I could then go to like an F2 and really blur the mess in the background.
Right.
And this was their second kid. They have a 2.5-year-old, so that was kind of involved. Like the 2.5-year-old's going to hold the kid and that. And so that's another added variable.
Now, explain to me, because I don't know if your experience, because we have some of the same lenses, but the 85mm prime, like the Canon 1.8 that we both have, at 85mm on the 70-200, they look different. Even if you're shooting both F4 or F5.6, what's the reason for that?
What do you mean they look different?
Like if I shoot an 85 mils on the 70-200, right? If I zoom to 85 mils and shoot the same f-stop and then shoot that exact same shot with the 85 mil prime, I find that I like the 85 millimeter prime better. I'm not sure. I can't put my finger on what it is. Mm-hmm. Is there something, what would be different about that?
It could be color. It could be contrast. Could be sharpness.
Okay, but I mean the 70-200, that's L lens. I mean, you know, it doesn't get much better than that.
In not really. I mean, it's the whole zoom versus prime. I mean, we're doing the difference between f stops and t stops is kind of an issue as well.
What's a t stop?
F stop is the relationship between the size of the aperture and the focal length. It's a ratio. Okay. Like that number, that F4 means something. It's a ratio.
Okay.
In fact, if you look on your lens, it probably doesn't say F4. It says F1:4.
Yeah.
Now that's the same for every lens. It's just a physical ratio. Now T stop refers to a measurement taken of the actual light that gets through.
Okay.
So the T-stop might be slightly different, meaning that with a zoom lens, you have a lot more glass inside in order to achieve that zooming. It sounded super technical until I said achieve that zooming. It's like, oh, hey, scientists, everybody listen up. Professor's talking.
I imagine that you're wearing your lab coat right now.
I am anyways.
Okay.
It's actually a coat made from if you have a zoom lens, there's obviously more glass that the light has to go through, thus more light's going to get eaten, and then a prime has less glass, more light gets through at the same aperture, and then the t-stop was there for a different.
Okay.
But now it's I wouldn't say negligible, but almost negligible for what we're doing. Like I never think in terms of T-stops. When you're shooting, Hollywood movies, they use T-stops.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, I'm not sure if I'm communicating it well, but I just find that the 85 mil prime, the shots just look different than a comparable focal length out of the 70-200.
And you know what? My 70-200 might look slightly different than your 70-200. Okay. And then it's just other things too. Different lenses will have different contrast. They'll have different color rendition. And so there's that. Yeah. There are those options. The good news is, like, what I know exactly what you're talking about. I feel the same way. The good news is if my 85 mil is a 9 out of 10, In my 70 to 200 is an 8.5 out of 10.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not huge difference and nothing I would ever worry about.
Yeah.
So okay. There's that. So I guess I did shoot something interesting. I didn't think I did.
Well, you definitely did.
Photo challenge this week. Oh, we should have mentioned again that we're still doing the short shows despite the fact that we're going long.
Great.
Yeah. So we'll be back
to 24 minutes right now.
So. We'll be back to normal soon.
Okay.
Photo challenge, sunshine. Now, I knew you were going to the Sunshine State.
Yep.
That's Florida, though, isn't it?
I was going to say that. It's a place where there's sunshine. Yeah. But yeah, I think Florida's the sunshine.
What is California? Is that got the bear on the flag?
I have no idea.
That's all I know. It does. It has the bear.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
So, there's that.
Yeah, I don't know what California is the state of, but it's a very nice place. I do enjoy California.
So where'd you go?
Disneyland.
Okay, but so just to Anaheim.
Yeah, Anaheim. Okay. Well, Anaheim, and we were in Anaheim for 5 days.
Okay, five days in Anaheim.
5 days of Disneyland. Forget Anaheim. We didn't even explore Anaheim. We were just Disneyland.
You've been to a Taco Bell.
Yeah, no, I have.
You've been. So let's get with that in mind. I knew you were going because it wasn't really a secret to anybody,
right.
Except for our listeners. We kept it in the dark. But maybe they can now see why we're doing the shows in an odd format.
Okay.
That's why. Because of the travel.
Right.
Now, I knew you were heading down there to get some sunshine, so I said, hey, let's make it easy. Let's throw Adam a slow-pitch softball and do sunshine.
Okay.
Do you want to go first?
Doesn't matter.
Let's do yours first because it was just for you. So here we are. Here we are at Radiator Springs. This is like the Cars ride.
Yeah, this is the newest area in Disneyland. It's actually technically in the California Adventure Park. They have two parks now.
Mm-hmm.
So this is this is the Cars main attraction is the Radiator Springs ride. So we had gone on the ride and we were sort of standing waiting for the last few kids to come through. And I had we went with another family, so friends of ours, and this is their son, and this is of course my daughter Sarah. And so I just thought, okay, this is a really sunny time of the day. I think this is right around 11 o'clock, just before noon. Sun is right overhead, and I thought, okay, this is a blue sky day. This is a challenging time of day to take this shot. And mm-hmm. so Sarah was wearing her sunglasses. I didn't dress it up at all, but I took this shot in front to mark the fact that we were in Disneyland, and had my wife, I believe, hold an off-camera flash with the little mini softbox on it. And just, that's all I did. I ETTL and just flashes really close to them, high-speed sync, and just there it is, off-camera, high-speed sync, just to give that little flick of light to, you know, cut down on the shadows a little bit on their faces.
You brought off-camera flash to Disneyland?
Absolutely.
You're that guy. Holy cow, our topic's going to be interesting today because you're that guy.
No, I'm absolutely that guy.
I would not be that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't bring my camera to the park every day,
mm-hmm.
but I would actually, maybe that's not true. I did, but only we'd go to kind of go back and forth from the park to the hotel, and so I usually bring it for at least one component of the day.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay, save that for later, man. Honestly.
Oh, that's heavy. That's a heavy on the tip side. But anyway, so here's me with the off camera flash. The off camera flash made its way out of the bag now and then. I did shoot a lot of just ambient light, but occasionally if I was shooting at a very difficult time of day like this, then I would, yeah, hold the flash. I had it all set up. So again, I could just hand the flash to somebody. No different than I think putting the flash on the camera itself, because mm-hmm. the triggers were already preset and everything. And I always keeping it in ETTL because again, didn't want to mess around with time. So if we had an opportunity, I said, here, hold the flash, just because the result is better.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is. Yeah, that's
there it.
It
is. See, it's a very good Disneyland snapshot.
There you go.
It is. It's good. We got nice colors in the sky and the racers sign there, nice and red. Obviously, their skin tones are a little bit hot, but that's what do you do? It's the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Not much you can do. You can look for open shade, but the challenge wasn't open shade, was it?
No, I went. I and again, I had I really wanted it to be the difficult time of day, because I should, you know what, I probably have another photo similar where I didn't use the flash, and it's, you know, the shadows are very dark on their face, which mm-hmm. again is fine for, you know, 99% of people out there, but I'm crazy. And so I bring the off camera flash.
I would have gone, see, I wouldn't travel with that. I would make my wife carry one of those giant light discs. And just make her bounce light the whole time. Okay, sweetie, get that in there. Yeah, get that in there. No, she's on the... When she comes by on the Thunder Mountain, make sure you have the light bouncing, because I want to get an action shot, okay? Okay.
Yeah, so that's what I did, so...
Good. Love it.
All right. How about yours?
Okay, let's have a look at mine here. Now, this this was not meant to be a self-portrait.
Right.
I had it all lined up to take a picture of my kid, and she decided... She was not going to participate. Daddy, kind photo, daddy. That's what she said.
Okay.
Or neat, might have been neat photo. Neat photo machen, and then she just ran out of the room screaming.
Okay.
So I had it all set up and decided, no, it'll have to be a self-portrait, so there you go.
Okay, looks like an Old Spice commercial to me.
Yeah, really? Old Spice?
I don't know. That's
what, how about
that's
New what Spice?
It, how about what?
New Spice.
No, it's
Young Spice.
The Old Spice new marketing is all about, like, you know, it's not your dad's deodorant anymore.
Oh, so you wear Old Spice?
It's you know, they have actually great ads. I don't know if you've seen them over in Germany, no. But they're really good ads. So it's not an insult. I think it's the hairdo and the Joe Cool expression that you like to use in photos. But again, that
everyday life.
that aside, I do like the lighting here. Like I definitely like, and I like obviously the reflection in the sunglasses. So it seems like you must have had to do a little bit of work to get the reflection just right.
Not really.
Just kind of it worked out.
That's Photoshop.
Oh, is it?
It is.
Oh, I thought maybe you did that. No.
No. Any idea what the reflection is?
I can't tell. I even zoomed in. I can't tell.
It's tough. I think if you don't know it, if you've never been there, it's a rather obscure reference that I'll tell you off the air, but I'm going to. Leave it up to our listeners to see if anybody knows what that is.
It's not an Old Spice deodorant stick.
No. So, all right. So this and here's the rest of it. This isn't even sunshine.
Oh, you faked it.
Yeah, I when I had it, we had sunshine for quite some time. I never had time to shoot a photo, and then we had one of our thunderstorms when I needed to snap the photo, and so I was forced to. Do sunshine in the house.
Okay, so this is against just a white wall.
Yeah, this is my living room.
Okay.
And one flash, that's it, on full power. Not full power, it's less than that. But just let it flood the whole thing, no softbox. And a shot with a quarter black Pro Mist to kind of bring up the shadows a little bit, which I'm loving that Pro Mist filter more and more, the more I use it.
Okay.
And
Buy one on Amazon?
Yeah, they're a little, I don't know, I think they're a little more expensive than they're worth, but I had one for video, that's why I have one.
Okay.
But, yeah, so that's it, this is sunshine, and the picture alone was just kind of like, so I figured I had to Photoshop something into the reflection of the glasses.
I see. No.
Should I have not ruined the whole picture by telling you what's going on?
No, I think it's fine. I like the towel, to be honest. That's the part of the photo that does it for me. Is like if the towel wasn't there,
yes.
I wouldn't think much of it. But the towel just kind of works there, and I think also just the color of it too. It makes it feel more like sunshine.
That's what I was going for.
Yeah, no, choice, good color choice.
Thanks. I had one. At one point, this incarnation, this was going to be a photo of me and my daughter, and we both had an orange towel with the matching orange towels, on purpose. And also, I went for the exposure to be a little hot. I wanted to wear a white shirt so that it would kind of get close to blowing out.
Right.
To give us that feeling of summer sunshine.
Yeah.
You know, those hot days. And so that's what I went for.
Good. No, I like it.
So, all right. Well, moving on.
Moving on.
This week's topic, shooting in a theme park.
Okay.
Theme parking. That's what it's going to be, which is kind of confusing. Cause like, I even confused myself when I first read it after writing it.
Okay.
Theme parking.
Because it's not just Disneyland.
Well, no. I mean, assuming you could go to like a Six Flags or something.
Sure.
I mean, you're probably going to take your camera there too.
Probably, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how it works.
Okay.
So tell us, Adam. Tell us a little bit about shooting at a theme park. First of all, you went for 5 days.
Went for 5 days, yeah. So, I mean, for me, okay, so when I'm deciding what to bring, it's that, you know, obviously toss up between do I want to carry a lot of stuff with me? It's a little bit of a pain in the butt because you got to, you know, every time you go on a ride, you got to put that bag somewhere, right?
Uh-huh.
So I have the sling bag. I think we've probably haven't talked about bags for a long time, but we did a bags episode once upon a time, and I have a low pro sling bag that I can pretty much hold all my gear in. So that's nice. And it's pretty comfortable to wear. But I took my 6D. So I figured, you know, I bought this camera and, Disneyland's a prime opportunity to take photos and we'll probably do something with those photos. So I better take the good camera.
Okay. Hang on. Let me stop you right there for a sec. Did you drive down to Disneyland or fly?
No, we flew.
Okay. So did you bring both cameras with you on the trip or just one?
No, just one.
Okay.
Just one. Yeah. So I basically figured my camera bag was going to be my carry-on because I obviously wasn't going to check it. So mm-hmm. I figured whatever I could put in that sling bag, nothing more, right? Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to fill it up, but ultimately if I did fill it up, I wasn't bringing anything on top of what fit in that bag. So I put my 6D in there, and then I figured because, you know, sometimes kids are on rides, sometimes they're a little further away, I wanted to have the 70-200. If I'm bringing this camera, I wanted to have the ability to at least capture some stuff that's, you know, a little further in distance. Mm-hmm. So I brought the 70-200, and then I figured for group shots, right, I wanted to have something that was wider angle, so I bought the 50mm, and then I picked up the 85, and I was like, I really like this lens, guess that's coming too. So I ended up bringing all three of those lenses. Could have probably done without the 85 because mm-hmm. most of the time I was using either the 50mm for kind of a group shot or the 70-200 if I was trying to capture somebody who was on a ride and was at a distance. But mm-hmm. That's what I brought. And then I brought one flash and my triggers because, again, like you saw in the photo challenge, I wanted to fool around with some ETTL off-camera flash and high-speed sync and all of that fun stuff.
So you brought one of your Canon flashes.
So I brought one of my Canon flashes and then mm-hmm. the, you know, two of the, one set of the Yongnuo triggers.
And so your Canon flash would obviously operate on your camera if you wanted it as well.
If I wanted it, yeah. And I mm-hmm. think maybe a couple of times I used it on camera. I almost exclusively used it off camera because it was no different for me to put it on the camera or just hand it to somebody.
Right. Just some random stranger.
Yeah. Usually my wife or someone else in our party. And again, here's where my trust factor went. I was handing it to children to hold it to do off-camera lighting. And, mm-hmm. you know, I always had them hold it with two hands. But, it did not get dropped. So that was a bonus.
Nice.
Yeah, so, I mean, in terms of, I mean, you can ask me a specific question. But basically what I would do is, you know, for the sake of my wife's sanity, I would generally choose either morning or afternoon to bring the camera to the park.
Okay, so that's what I want to talk about is, first of all, you didn't go for 1 day. So you weren't jamming everything into 1 day.
Right. We went for 5 days. And so we would generally go to the park for opening, for morning, because that's uh-huh. when it's quietest in Disneyland. And usually go from opening until around lunchtime and then leave the park and come back and go swimming. And then return to the park in the afternoon and go to do some evening hours.
Okay, so not only do you have a 5 day pass, you have in and out privileges.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I don't know, I've not been to Disneyland since I was a kid.
Yeah, no, you can go in and out as much as you want and cross from one park to the other. So yeah, generally we'd kind of do two sessions a day, so I would bring the camera gear for one of those two sessions.
Okay. Typically which one? Night, morning?
I kind of mixed it up. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, because you get, we're going early enough that you can get either morning magic hour or mm-hmm. you're getting evening magic hours. So either way, you're getting some good time of the day to shoot photos. Now, we kind of had a mixed bag. Like, the first 3 days were just nothing but, you know, clear skies and blazing sun. And the last 2 days were where the sun wasn't to be seen. It was completely overcast. Okay. So, yeah, so I got to shoot in different lighting situations. But, yeah, obviously it's a lot easier. I didn't have to shoot with flash when in the last 2 days because we got, you know, just a nice even light.
Okay, now, so every day, did you bring your same camera setup every day, or did you vary your setup, what you brought?
I mixed it around. Like, we went to do one of those character breakfasts, and in that situation, I only shot with a 50 millimeter because I knew, you know, I was going to be in tight, and also knew that there was going to be lots of group shots, and so anytime I was expecting to do group shots, I just stuck with the 50 millimeter because, again, I can shoot a group, and the 70 to 200, even at the 70 end, I don't have enough room to back up enough to get five kids and a character all in the same shot.
Right, there's so many people milling about.
Yeah, exactly, and if I try to, exactly, for that reason, if you try to back up in Disneyland, well, there's going to be 8,000 heads in your way.
Right.
So, yeah, you pretty much have to shoot with the 50 for a group shot. So okay. I kind of, in my head, I kind of knew what I was doing, and I never actually got caught where I had the completely wrong lens on for the shot I wanted. So I kind of knew what was coming. And if that scenario presented itself, well, I guess I'm not taking a photo of this.
Yeah, you don't need to document the entire trip.
Right.
That's the other thing is where did you make the cutoff between I'm going to enjoy this as daddy versus I'm going to document this for posterity?
Oh, I mean, we did so many rides, I mean, over the course of 5 days and with the number of people we had that I think I got a nice mix. Like and again, it never got in the way. For the most part, I didn't bother my wife with any off-camera lighting. I would hand it to the other dad that I was with. And, you know, here's basically the agreement. You're going to get a ton of good family photos of your family. So once in a while, you're going to hold the flash. And he was more than a willing participant. So mm-hmm. I never felt like, you know, sometimes you feel like your wife might punch you in the face if you get her to do anything else. That never really happened. And she was completely game for whatever I wanted to do because I wasn't infringing on her. And I was mm-hmm. always a present father for the activities with the kids. So it really didn't get in the way like sometimes it does if you're just with your own family and you're getting them to stop every 2 minutes to pose for a photo.
Right.
The other, I'll say this much. I mean, in Disneyland, you're often going somewhere early and waiting for example, the gates to open. Mm-hmm. So I use this time to, again, entertain the kids by having them jump off of random things and take photos of it. And they quite enjoyed this, and I never had to coax them to do it again. So we found our way around some of the Disneyland landmarks, jumping off of things and taking high-flying action shots.
There you go.
So there's a tip, there's a takeaway for people. If you have to wait, good idea to find not super high things to jump off, but low things, and they love that. That game happened a number of times.
Make the most of your downtime is what...
Exactly, because all we were doing is standing around waiting. So
I just do push-ups and math problems.
Right.
Just to stay sharp.
Yeah.
And plus, your kids are of an age now where you can actually get them to you can direct them a little bit.
Yes.
Like do that. Yeah, my daughter's not in that zone right now. She just hit the zone where she's doing the opposite of what you say.
Right.
Until you try to psych her out and tell her the opposite, and then she just does it.
Yeah. Jack, actually, who was the most cooperative and you know, easy kid to photograph, has now become a photo bomber. Like, he loves to jump in the photo and, like, make a funny face or do a karate kick move. Like, so... I don't know that. I think maybe we got one decent family photo and Jack wasn't in it. It was me. We actually borrowed the other family, the other son that appears in that photo with Sarah in the photo challenge, had him do a stand-in, got probably the best family portrait of all during the whole holiday. And I figured I'll just Photoshop Jack's head on it because he's about the same height, right?
Nice.
Yeah.
Because Jack wasn't participating.
No, or he had always a crazy face or a karate kick move. So it just, yeah. And every photo, he's got the karate kick going. And no matter, you know, if you tell him to stop, well, then he has to karate kick more, right?
So right.
Yeah.
So every time you went to the park, you always brought the sling bag with you?
No. Well, when I brought my camera, I brought the bag.
Right. But you never just brought the camera as is?
No.
Okay, so that's something that I tend to do a lot more now is I will pick, like, if this was me, especially over 5 days, which is the key, because if you have to do it in one day now, you're going to bring everything with you, unfortunately, because you don't want to miss anything, right?
Right.
But having the luxury of a 5 day pass, kind of affords you that opportunity to mix it around a little bit. Like one day, what I would probably do is just take my 50mm lens, that's it, and throw my camera on, over my shoulder.
Yeah, but what do you do when you go on a roller coaster, for example? You just put it in your lap?
I would assume so. Are you allowed
Yeah.
to?
I would think that you can on most things, but some of the rides, they specifically tell you have to store it. Like the Tower of Terror is one ride where you have to store anything underneath the seat.
Okay.
I think there's another, the Star Wars ride, where same thing, they direct you to, and they again, I don't know if they would come around and police it and tell you it has to go under, but they do instruct you to put everything in the under kind of storage bins that go under the seats and stuff. So, and I
Okay.
think, yeah, so I can see that potentially being a problem. But and again, if I'm going to put it under the seat, well, I wanted at least the protection of the bag, right?
Sure. No, that in that case, absolutely. So in that case, I might bring my FTB with a 50mm lens and just shoot some color film, because in that case, I'm really not worried about if that I can hammer nails with that thing and it's fine.
Right.
But that again, that would be if it's one afternoon,
Another thing that I think is a definite challenge when it comes to photography in this Disneyland, but I imagine it applies to other theme parks as well, is you never know when you're going to happen upon a character, for example. And so you have to be ready with whatever your setup is going to be at a moment's notice, because all of a sudden your camera's in your backpack, you haven't had it out for 45 minutes or an hour, and now the character's there right now, they're in the front of the line, and you got to take your picture before you get a whole bunch of angry parents at you for taking too long. So it's a constant race to get the exposure right in as fast as possible. And usually my move as a result of this is AV mode. Like I went to AV mode 9 times out of 10 in that scenario, because again, you just don't want to be the guy who's sitting there for 15 minutes letting, an army of angry kids behind them lose their minds, right? So
Correct.
AV mode, and usually try to keep the ISO somewhere in the middle, but you could be all of a sudden outside and then the character goes to a spot that's completely in a darkened room, and now all of a sudden you've got to change everything, right? So
Right.
I never actually stooped to auto, but AV mode was a savior for sure.
So I would recommend. See, here's what I would do is when I take a picture and we're done, I'm putting my camera away to go walk around for a bit. I would switch it to AV mode then,
Yeah.
leave it ready to go so that as soon as I pull it out, bam, we're shooting pictures. That's
Yeah,
how I would put it away.
and you could even go to, I mean, I didn't do this either, but I can see for a lot of people, just go to a auto ISO and let the camera even sort out the ISO for that too.
Yep, that's an option, or you can actually pre-program a couple, 'cause the 6D has a couple of custom settings, right?
Yep.
So that's typically what I'll do in those situations is mine have like the C1, C2, C3. So I'll program C1 for outdoors, C2 for indoors, and then all it is like in AV mode. I'll program those to be AV mode for, let's say, F4 or 5.6 or whatever I've decided. Inside will likely be, F2.8, and then outside will be like F5.6 probably.
Right.
And then that way all I'll do is just switch it to the indoor or the outdoor. Boom.
Yeah, I think that's a good tip for sure. I think I had mine set one of the custom settings was more dedicated for video, and one was dedicated for outdoor photos. And I didn't have an indoor setting. I think mine only does a C1 and C2, so I only have the two options. But I didn't actually take any video, so I probably should have changed that one custom setting. I
Well,
intended to
next
do some,
year.
and then I just never got around to it.
Do you feel like you took I would say hopefully you took better photos than, because you were there 2 years ago,
I
right?
was there last year.
Was it last year? Okay.
Yeah, exactly a year ago. I went in July of last
Did
year.
you take better pictures this time?
Absolutely.
Did you feel your gear management strategy was better?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
I mean, ultimately, I'd rather not have the bad backpack. I mean, that's the one thing, is you're carrying the weight on my back, but my gear was never
a hindrance to anybody else. It was just literally that I didn't like carrying around for 4 hours.
Right.
And, you know, one day I just brought the 50 millimeter because I, you know, the 70 to 200 is a lot heavier lens and I just didn't want that weight. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so, but I found that it didn't get in the way of anything other than it's a pain in the butt to, you know, take on and off each ride every time you go on.
Right. Yeah. And to kind of pay attention to it while you're eating
or yeah.
wherever it is.
Yeah. And that really wasn't an issue. We never ate in the park, and so we were always going back to our hotel. So that part really wasn't an issue. Some rides, you know, I have to, like, if it's a water ride, like we did, you know, some of the rides you get quite wet, so I'd have to pass it off. But we always had two groups going on any ride, so mm-hmm. if there was a water ride, I could just hand it off to one of the other adults while I went on the ride, because, yeah, I didn't trust it to be in the under storage of a really wet ride.
Good. That's a good thinking. Now, I think the big takeaway is rather than carry all your gear around, hire Adam to carry your gear around.
Yes.
He'll come down.
And I think, you know, I don't know. I'm the type of person that, you know, kind of wants, I don't want a missed opportunity. I know that sounds silly because in 5 days there probably isn't a missed opportunity. I got pictures of everything, and I haven't posted anything. I will get to that. I'm sure by the time this episode airs, all of my favorites will be on Facebook, the two hosers Facebook anyway. So when people are hearing this, they probably already seen a bunch of my pictures, but I just always feel like, you know, I want to have the gear just in case. And I think I need to train myself not to think that way. Mm-hmm. I could have got away with just bringing the 50 millimeter and just, you know, minimizing, just carrying the 50 millimeter for 4 hours. And then the next time out, just carry the 70 to 200 instead right. of having both and needing to change lenses and blah, blah, blah.
That is 100% my move. I can't stand changing lenses in those situations, especially when you're going to have repeatable, situations.
Exactly. Yeah.
There you go. Okay, that's it for next week's challenge. Magic Hour.
Okay.
Magic Hour. And spoiler alert, you've already shot it.
And spoiler alert, we're going to record it in 5 minutes.
Hopefully in 60 seconds.
Okay.
Yes. That's it. Magic Hour.
Okay.
I'm just going to repeat it like 6 times.
Until you think of what we're supposed to say next, but you're going to talk about websites and Amazon.
Probably. Yeah. Amazon. Buy your Magic Hour stuff on Amazon. That's what Great. I tell you. Yeah. If you're going to Disneyland, buy your tickets to Disneyland on Amazon.
Sure. Buy
through
some souvenirs.
Site.
Yeah, buy some Disneyland souvenirs on Amazon.
Probably cheaper than at the park.
Yeah, I don't know.
So people can find your stuff where, Adam?
I'm sure my wife will be blog posting by the time this is... By the time this is posted, there'll probably be a couple
that sounded
blog
snarky.
Posts. She chirped from the background. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
But anyways, on schwartzchronicles.com, and I haven't posted in a while, so I feel kind of guilty on Facebook. You've been carrying the torch with your 50 strangers. Is that over yet?
When you hear this, yes.
Okay.
When All recording right. it, no. I still have a couple more to post. But
okay. So that's it. And what about your stuff?
Check me out at alanattridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find everything we just talked about. That's it, Adam. Until next week or 1 minute from now, get out there and make better photos.